God's word being read.
Today is taken from Psalms 51, 10, 12. Our Lenten sermon service focuses on Psalms 51. Today's focus is ask God to be with us during our difficult times. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue our journey through this Psalm 51, those powerful verses that are really a prayer, today we visit that first half of that 11th verse of Psalm 51, cast me not away from your presence. As you look at that verse, you might think it's a particularly difficult part of the psalm, because in this prayer we are asking, in essence, where is God in my life? None of us are immune to difficulties in life. We know that. We hope that we have more good times than we do bad times or difficult times. And yet, sometimes when those difficult times come, it seems that we're all alone, right? That God is nowhere to be found. But where is our hope? There's a great old hymn that reminds us, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. God gives us hope so that we can bring hope to the world. We're going to look at that today in a little bit more depth. Is God there for us or is God against us? One of the questions that we wrestle with in our world today. Well, have you ever had one of these days? Chippy the Parakeet, yeah. Chippy, what a great name. Name of a parakeet who's supposed to be joyful and singing all the time, right? Well, Chippy never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched on his cage, the next second he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And the problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. At that second, the phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped. She threw the phone down. She turned off the vacuum. She opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him, she raced to the bathroom, she turned on the faucet, and she held Chippy under the running water. And then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering and cold, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how Chippy was doing. The owner said, well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sort of sits and stares. It's not hard to see why, though. Sucked up, washed up, blown over. That's enough to steal the song from anyone's heart. If you've ever felt like that, raise your hand. Yeah, pretty much most of us at some point or another, right? Starts out bad, and it goes from bad to worse, and it goes from worse to terrible, and you're just beside yourself, and you feel like God has just sort of left you. Yeah, have you had one of those days, right? Exactly. You feel like God has just abandoned you. It may have been that you were ill, or maybe you had a friend or a parent or a child that was desperately ill, and you were crying out to God, asking for God's help. Maybe it was a situation at work or at school that was just too hard to handle. Maybe you're in a new school with no friends and you just hated it. Or maybe there was a conflict at work and you just can't cope with it. You just wanted out of there, and you were praying that God would deliver you from that situation, but you heard nothing. Maybe you were desperate for work, and you prayed and prayed for God to answer that prayer. You were desperate for an answer and prayed day and night, but to no avail. And so you wrestle. You wrestle with the age-old question. If God's supposed to be all-powerful and all-loving, then why do innocent people suffer? It leaves us feeling at times that God has abandoned us. It was King David who wrote the words to this psalm during a time in his life when he felt like God had abandoned him and he was separated from God. We all know David began his life as a shepherd boy. And shepherding was not without its challenges. 1 Samuel 17 shares that the Lord delivered David when he faced a lion and a bear while tending the sheep. And when he came to the front lines later on, when Israel was facing off against the Philistine army and a giant named Goliath, God used David to deliver a nation. And David, at that point in his life, was faithful to God, and God was there with him as he rose to prominence, became king of Israel. David had been through many ordeals, and God was with him. But that's usually when you're on top of the world, when problems begin to occur. Here's an example. There was a woman one day who was rushing home from a doctor's appointment. She still had to pick up her prescription at the store, pick up the children from the babysitter, get home, make supper, all in time to make it to the prayer meeting at church that night. As she began to circle the busy Walmart parking lot, looking for a space, here came a downpour, just pouring down, raining like cats and dogs. And while she wasn't usually the type to bother God with small problems, she began to pray as she turned down the row closest to the front door. She said, "Lord, Lord, you know that I have had a day, and I still got a lot more to do. Could you please, please just grant me a parking space right close to the building so I don't get soaked?" The words were not even completely out of her mouth when she saw the backup lights of a car come on at the end of the row. It was the best space in the whole parking lot, right next to the front door. She made straight for it as she pulled in, and she said, "Never mind, God. Something just opened up." When things are going well, it's easy to lose sight of God. 2 Samuel 11 tells us a story. It begins like this. In the spring of the year when kings go into battle, David sent Joab, his commander, and all of Israel, which means all the men of fighting age, and they were ravaging the Ammonites. But where was David? This is the same David whom God again called and who God was with when he was fighting lions and giants and bears. Oh my. God blessed David in the heat of the battle. He was a warrior king. he should have been in battle leading his troops. But if you read a little further, the text says David remained in Jerusalem. What was he doing in Jerusalem? He was sitting on the couch watching the Astros get ready for spring training to defend their title. That's what he was doing. No, he was there, relaxing on his couch. It did say that. And when he got tired of that, the text says he went walking on the roof. Well, he should never, ever have gone walking on the roof. That's when all the trouble started. That's where he spied Bathsheba taking a bath. Now, they didn't have indoor plumbing in those days, of course. But they did have privacy fences. But a privacy fence doesn't do a lot of good when you're on the second story looking down over a one-story bathroom surrounded by a fence with no roof over the top. So David caught full sight of Bathsheba. And remember, or let me ask you this, how many of you take a bath with your clothes on? You don't get clean that way, right? So Bathsheba, she was getting clean. Let's just say that. David caught full view, and of course we know the rest of the history there. He took matters into his own hands, got Bathsheba pregnant. On top of it, he had her husband murdered. And because he was king, he thought it was okay. You see, it wasn't that God had abandoned David. It was David who, through his actions, had separated himself from God. Is it not sin that separates us from God? We continue the story in the next chapter, 2 Samuel 12. God sent Nathan, the prophet, to confront David in his sin and his separation from God. And now, you just don't march into a king's palace and confront him face to face. That's not wise. But I love the wisdom that God gave to Nathan as he confronted David with a tale, a story about a rich man who had abundant herds and flocks of sheep and a neighbor who had but one precious little lamb that was well-loved and a part of the family. And so the rich man had an important guest come, and rather than butcher one of his own flock, who that he wouldn't even have missed, he stole the neighbor's precious little lamb and turned it into lamb chops to feed his guest. Well, when David heard that story, his anger flared. He decreed that such a man doing such a despicable act deserved to die. In that very moment when David's anger was kindled, God used Nathan to turn the story onto David to point out his sin. David, he said, you're the man. And then David realized the terribleness of his sin. And somewhere in the midst of that process, he wrote the words to this psalm that we have before us today. Cast me not away from your presence. He begged God not to leave him nor forsake him. David had failed as a leader that day. But you know what? God never abandoned David. David would not be without trial and tribulation the rest of his life. But he faced it with a greater sense of humility and respect for God. And he faced it knowing that as terrible as his deeds were, God would forgive him and restore him. People of God, that's the good news for us. That no matter how bad we have been, no matter how terrible our sins, no matter how much we have separated ourselves from God, God will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5 reminds us. God does confront our sin because it's that sin which separates us from him. In John chapter 8, there was a woman caught in the act of adultery, who was brought before Jesus by the religious leaders of the day. They demanded justice. And according to the law in those days, she could have been stoned to death for that offense. They wanted Jesus to put his stamp of approval on that and have her put to death. But what did Jesus do? He bent down and he drew a line in the dirt. And when they continued to demand that he follow the law, Jesus confronted them with their own hypocrisy. Whoever, he said, is without sin, cast the first stone. Slowly but surely, each of those leaders dropped their stones and they hung their heads in shame as they walked away, because they realized they were not without sin either. Jesus had compassion on the woman, saved her life, but he also reminded her to go and sin no more. People of God, Jesus died on that cross in our place so that we would not be utterly destroyed by God. We certainly deserve it. But Christ paid the ultimate price by giving his life for ours. And on the cross, when Jesus cried out those words from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was crying out of the depth of our sin, that which separates us from God, begging and pleading with God to forgive us. Jesus took that sin with him into the grave. And God raised Jesus from the dead on that first Easter Sunday that we might be saved. You see, God wants us to live lives that are free from sin, that we have the freedom to live by the example that Christ has set for us, that love of God, loving God with our whole self, heart, mind, body, soul, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. May we be reminded this day that it's not God who has cast us away from his presence, but he has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God for that good news. May we always remember what Christ has done for us on the cross and beyond. Amen.
Lest my best in oil I depart.